KSL at Night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm Mara Carabello here with Leah Murray. And Leah, our state, we have heard this more and more. Our state's a growing state. We're going to double our population. All of that gets told to us all the time. Now, whether you are a Salt Lake City resident or not, growth means traffic, and most of us at one time or another are going to hit downtown Salt Lake, whether that is for shopping, whether that is to visit Temple Square. And now we have a basketball arena that's going to get a hockey arena, and there's talk of a major league stadium. So we wanted to take a minute to talk about transportation and transportation planning, specifically in Salt Lake City, because again, whether you live here permanently or not, with the congestion, with us growing and growing, boy, transportation's a big old challenge.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, before we get into this, because I don't live in Salt Lake City.
Right.
But Friday night, they shut down 89 on Friday. I feel like just for the fun of it, I'm sure it was a good reason. But
yeah.
Man.
Water.
Yeah, like the
water
entire.
Was the reason.
Yeah, water. That's right, it was water. But the entire southern Weber County was a parking lot, Marv. Like you couldn't move, right? And so people were posting on social media like, it is, you know, zombie apocalypse out here. We can't move. So being thoughtful as you have growth, when you need to do projects like water, about alternate routes of travel. Does that make sense? And being able to do that, right? Smart people do better planning to make sure those kind of things, like that you can handle a water project without causing the whole place to shut down.
And Westerners, we are so car-centric, so car-dependent, and so intolerant of any traffic problems. So to sort through where Salt Lake City specifically is going, we have Joe Taylor, the transportation planner for the Salt Lake Transportation Division. And Joe, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
So, okay, we're going to talk about some history for a second. The last major transportation plan for Salt Lake City was in 1996, about 30 years ago. So much has changed. What of the plan are you still using? What are the plans to get a new forward-looking transportation planning system?
Yeah, so the 1996 plan is actually a remarkably, really still great document. And it, you know, has a lot in it that we're still focused on. It promotes transit really heavily, which I think in the last 30 years in Salt Lake City has come a long way. One kind of major move that we made in updating this new plan is that we really put it to our residents about what they valued in our roadway system. We wanted to focus on promoting those values in all of our transportation projects. And so by focusing on values, you know, we're not necessarily promoting any single one way of getting around. We know a lot of people still want to drive, and that's how they're going to choose to get around. But we want to make sure that things are, first and foremost, safe, but also that, you know, people feel like they can get places reliably, and also that, you know, sort of the network of transportation is I guess, not just for moving things around, but also ensuring that our downtown specifically, but the city more broadly, is just also a really great place to be. And so there may be space in the roadway, you know, that's not for moving vehicles or people around, but for creating great sort of places that you want to spend time.
All right. So you said you asked people about their values. Can you give us like a specific example, like what popped in those conversations that was something that Salt Lake City residents are valuing that you all are trying to address with this new plan?
Yes, so safety really rose to the top there. That's something that people just said that they wanted to, you know, feel safe, whether they're in a vehicle or walking around or on their bicycle. Affordability was a big concern for our residents. You know, I think affordability is kind of present in everybody's mind in every aspect of their life. But whether they're taking the bus or maintaining and driving a car, you know, those costs, they wanted to make sure it was something that they could you know, afford to get around and live in Salt Lake City. They wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody in Salt Lake City, whether they owned a car or two cars or were dependent on a bus pass, had a set of choices that would work for them. So, you know, they really wanted to make sure that there were equitable choices. And then, sorry, I'm just pulling the last one because I don't want to miss anything. Also, you know, just that the sustainability aspect of transportation was being looked at. You know, vehicles contribute to poor air quality. That's an area that we can really address. So sustainability was the other big value.
So, Joe, what kind of policies have you put into place recently that keep up with new technologies, whether that is synchronizing lights and traffic flow, which I know has seen a lot of technological advances, or, as you suggest, sustainability, materials being used, using porous soils and different kinds of concretes? What is Salt Lake City doing in the last 5 or so years to keep up with the technology?
Yeah, there's a lot, and technology is something that I think, you know, wasn't really considered in the old plan that has really just presented both a lot of challenges and opportunities in the transportation sector. So you mentioned signal timing. You know, our emergency services use that, and we're starting to use it more with our transit vehicles. And then, you know, porous pavements. We haven't built a whole lot of new roads in Salt Lake City, but as we begin to expand, you know, into the western part of the city, that's definitely something we're going to consider. And then there's also, you know, just sort of this whole realm of kind of app-based transportation. You know, you can hail a ride with your phone. You can get a scooter. So just making sure that, you know, especially downtown, our really precious curb space is available at the highest and best use to all of those kind of new technologies that people are using to get around, maybe without their personal vehicle. And then, you know, the plan doesn't really get into it, but I think that a challenge we're going to be looking at in at least the near future, if not the medium term, is just that there's going to start to be more drone transportation, whether that's delivery services or maybe even getting into the realm of personal transportation.
So, Joe, in there you talked about something about the west side of the city. And I feel like one of the things we talk about a lot is this kind of east-west Salt Lake City divide. Sometimes when you have conversations with people, like, they're referencing, you know, the west side not getting that much love, or when they're looking at things. Can you talk to us about whether your plan, these new plans, address that bifurcation, if you will, of the city?
Yeah. So as we talk to people, and we talk to thousands of people, either in person or via survey, the east-west divide, you know, became very apparent that that was the single biggest transportation problem on people's minds. And that problem is not just one of getting from east to west. It's not just a mobility problem, but that it's perceived as kind of a psychological divide, and that it's driven the way that, you know, investment patterns have happened. And we're talking about, you know, a divide that even really predates the incorporation of the city itself. So we don't have, you know, a clear this is what we're going to do to face this challenge. But there are a series of, you know, sort of big ideas in the plan, looking at just, you know, either going over or under or around the freeway and the rail line in a way that makes sense for folks, you know, both that live on the west side and have to deal with it every day, and also just you know, everybody in the city. And I'll add to that, we're just about to undertake a 2-year study that's a federally funded study to really dig into that more deeply. And by dig into it, I mean really get down with the people who live it every day and not just propose technical solutions, but really understand from the community what their specific challenges are and also what, you know, solutions would work for them.
So, Joe, we only have about 20 seconds, but is transportation, from your point of view, if you build it, they will come? So I feel like that's been on the approach with bikes, or do you just build out to what we're doing? Which approach do you take?
You know, I think what we're really starting to do is not necessarily do what's been working, although there is a lot that has been working for a long time, but really just trying to make sure that we are espousing these values we heard and building towards what will promote them. So we don't want to take a choice away from anybody. You know, we don't necessarily have a dog in any fight. We want you to get around in a way that you feel safe and comfortable. But we want to make sure that we're providing options so that when people do want to make a different choice, or they do want to, you know, transform in a mm-hmm. roadway into something more than just a place for people to get around, they have the option to do
Joe
that.
Joe Taylor, transportation planner for Salt Lake City, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, retiring, you know, Leah, someday.
Not yet.
Someday we're going to do it. Well, after the break, we're going to take a look into the growing trend of people retiring early. So if you want to know how or why they're doing it, stay tuned with us on KSL at Night.